this is our life changer morning, and I'm going to introduce some testimonies in a few minutes, but I'm just going to really introduce it and give some framework onto why we're doing this, why we believe it's valuable. As I say, next week we are launching a new preaching series, but today I'm going to give the rest of the morning to these stories. Because the thing is that as people, for some reason, we are wired in such a way that we all love a bit of drama. We love dramatic stories. That is a fact. We all love them. Any playwright or screenwriter or even documentary maker or novelist would tell you this. Even the newsreaders know this, that we love a story. So think of one of your favourite films for a moment, or favourite novels. It could be, think of one of your favourite stories. It might be Harry Potter or a Dickens or a Jane Austen classic. Maybe, you know, a Shawshank Redemption or Gladiator or something like that. Maybe it's The Lion King. Whatever you've chosen, there will be at least one point in that story where something bad happens, where there's kind of a sad moment, a tragedy occurs. It might be that the tragedy happens nearer the beginning. So, spoiler alert, like when Mufasa dies in The Lion King. Don't give me that. You've all seen it. He's murdered by Scar. And that's the tragedy. And it's enough to make a grown man cry. Or it might be basically nearer the end. Another spoiler alert. When Maximus dies in the Colosseum. And there's an epic moment. And there's that tragedy right at the end. But the tragedy does happen in any and every story. And let's face it. That while we're watching Mufasa die and it's tragic, if he hadn't have died, the story would have been some boring, weird cartoon documentary on lions, and there would have been no drama. It would have been just a bit strange. And actually, even if you do watch animal documentaries, you know, then they make a story out of it, don't they? They make it dramatic, and they give them names, and they give them highs and lows, and happy bits and sad bits. The difference ultimately in whether it's a happy story or a sad story is just at what point in the story this tragedy happens. So if it happens near the beginning, like in The Lion King, then there's some kind of resolution and it's a classically happy story. Or it might happen towards the end, like in Gladiator, then it's a classically sad story. And so this is where I'm going. When we have days like today, when we hear people tell stories of their lives, or in, you know, we like to call them testimonies in a Christian context, we hear these things, whether it might be their whole life story or it might be a kind of a zoomed in bit, something in particular that's happened, there's something in us that is hoping for some drama, a dramatic story in which something really happened and then something bad happened and then something good happened and it's a happy story. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's not what these stories are, but there's just a worldly sense in which we find those more engaging, more interesting than where there's no tragedy. Do you know what I mean? And where it is just the goodness of God, as it were. And I'm just going to put up a Bible verse as I look to explain the point, really, of what I'm saying. In a letter to the people in Philippi, the Apostle Paul, he opened his letter and then he says this in verses 3 to 6 of chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, the reality is that for anyone who is a Christian, there has been already the most dramatic of dramatic changes occur in them. We are going to hear some stories in a few minutes, and actually most of them on this occasion are largely happy stories where they have come through the difficulty or tragedy. But I want to encourage all of us, really, and inspire all of us this morning that the total life change is not just possible for us, but if you are a Christian, then it has already happened. Totally dramatic change has already happened to you. So Paul says here that he is confident that he who began a good work in you will carry on. The miracle in the fact that God has begun a good work in Christians is phenomenal. I mean, that means that all Christians have already had their lives changed totally by an act of grace. Where there was no work of God, God began a good work in us. On our own, we're ultimately without hope. And anything that might look like a life-changing experience or decision will ultimately be futile and temporary at best. You see, when God begins a good work in Christians, that is the most dramatically life-changing start or most dramatically life-changing bit in any story that there is ever going to be. God has stepped in and given help to the helpless and life to the lifeless. That is the drama. That is the beauty of the gospel. And if you're not yet a Christian today, then don't think, you know, I wish I could be as fortunate as these people as they tell their stories. God is knocking on your door and asking to come in and to begin a work in you that will change you forever. And he goes on, Paul goes on, he began a good work in you, will carry it on. There are always subplots in good stories, isn't there? There's the main point where the tragedy happens and either is resolved or isn't. And in the cases of Christians, that main tragedy is always resolved. The main plot has always been restored by Jesus. If God has begun something in you, then he has resolved it. But then there's the next stage. And really, this is kind of the stage where the people who are sharing today are at. There's even more good news that God hasn't just resolved the main tragedy and he's leaving you to all your other little things, all the other little things that come up in life. No, God is still engaging in our very real issues today. He is carrying on his work in Christians. He hasn't just left us to get on with our daily lives. So when things come up, God is carrying on working through us. We preached through the book of Romans recently. And one of the things we just so wanted to emphasize, there's this amazing gospel, this amazing theology, amazing truth, but it is not just that. It is life-changing. That is why this has affected people and changed people's lives. That's why people are talking this morning about that. We can all make a logical argument, and the gospel does indeed hold up logically, but you can see it proved in the evidence of people's lives being changed as well. It's so real. Stories are like today are just so helpful for us as we kind of zoom in and see what does it mean for Jesus to be a life changer. God is in the process of changing lives. So again, I'm trying to encourage you, as we hear stories this morning, let's rejoice together. Let's enjoy this moment. Let's cheer one another on that God continues to change the lives of every one of his people until the day we die. It's not generally a sudden thing. Generally, it's not a, right, now life changes. No, it tends to be a longer thing. It can take weeks or years or decades even. But God is in the process of changing lives. And if you're not a Christian, listen to these stories and see that we're not just believing a logical truth, we're believing in a life-changing Saviour this morning. And then Paul says that God will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, until Christ returns or until we die. Everyone you see today who tells their story, they are not finished works. They are not done. They are not, you know, they have not arrived. They are works in progress. I think one of the reasons why I, and really everyone, loves to hear other people's stories so much is just that we know that we're not saying, so therefore I've nailed it, but we're saying I'm in the same boat as you. I've come through this and now I go on to the next difficulty or whatever it may be. We know that life is not easy, don't we? If anyone who's alive, we know that. And so we hear stories of people having their life changed is so encouraging and exciting. And in a Christian context, there is a real delight that while we know the work is not completed yet, firstly, we know that one day it will be. One day there'll be no more tragedy, there'll be no more suffering, no more difficulty. But secondly, also, we take heart from the fact that God is still working in us right now, today. It's not a dead God that we're worshipping this morning. It's not a dead God that we're hearing about. It is one who is still working in us. So be encouraged about that. So as we hear these stories, as we're going to do in a moment, let's rejoice together. Let's celebrate together that God has begun a good work in these people and he's begun it in us. And let's rejoice that he is still with these people in their stories and he continues to work through them, often in mysterious ways that aren't predictable. And let's support one another. Let's be supporting these people who are being vulnerable. First up this morning is telling their story is going to be Mel and Libby Hall, actually. So we've got Supernovas to come out to watch as well. That's great. So I'm going to hand over to them. This is going to be the cutest
Thank
one by far.
Okay, I'm Mel and this is Libby. How old are you, Libby?
5.
Libby's 5. This is quite scary for a 5-year-old standing up here in front of everyone. Do you feel a bit nervous?
Yes.
You do? Me too. Okay, well, some of you will know a little bit of Libby's story already because we shared it together as a church, and that's kind of what makes it really awesome. But for those of you that don't, and just to remember it for everybody else, this is a story which is full of drama. And like Joe said, you know, we love a good story with drama. And it happened here, right here, the drama, didn't it, Libs? It happened on the 14th of October. Would you like to tell everyone what happened?
I cut my finger off.
It's a bit dramatic, isn't it? What happened?
Well, I shut it in the door.
And that was here. Can you point to where the door is? Yeah, don't go up on the stage. Scary door up there. So we were at church. It was after the service. We were all settling down for a bring and share lunch. We were really excited. We were hungry, weren't we, Libby? And then there was a big scream and Libby was running across and Neil was shouting, Mel, Mel, Mel. And Neil wasn't screaming. And there was a lot of blood. And we knew straight away that... it was a bad cut. It was a bad cut on her finger. And so Neil quickly wrapped it up, didn't he, with the bandage from the first aid kit. And we whisked her off to hospital. And we got there. You were so brave. She was so brave. Yeah, she was brave. But everyone was praying for her, which was awesome. We knew that everyone was praying for her. And we got there and the doctors looked at her finger and they said, oh, do you have the remains? We were like, There's remains. There was blood everywhere. We hadn't realised that enough of her finger had come off that there was remains. So we, it was a bit of a shock then, wasn't it? What did you say about your finger? Can you remember what you said?
No.
I don't like how it looks, Mummy. That was a bit sad. And so we got on the phone to Joe and Liz. Joe's very squeamish, so Liz helped him out with this and said, "Can you get back to church? There's some remains that need to be collected." And so they came back to church. Amazing. Our church family stands with us and goes the next step for us. And where did they find your finger?
In the hinge of the door.
Yeah, it was still there. It was stuck in the hinge of the door. So quite some time had passed by then. About 4 hours had passed. So it was, you know, we weren't feeling hugely positive about that finger that had been stuck in the door for 4 hours. But that was the first thing that God was teaching us, was that our church family go the extra mile for us, and they're there, they're praying for us, and they're collecting fingers from door hinges. And throughout the whole time that we were at the hospital, Libby was so calm and didn't seem to be in much pain. The doctors were amazed, and we were quite amazed that she was so calm. And we could tell that God was with us as a family, because we were in a lot of shock, but we felt protected as a family. What did the doctors say that they were going to have to do to your finger?
Sew it back on.
Okay, so they said she was going to have an operation to sew her finger back on. And we had to go to a special hospital in East Grinstead, which is plastic surgery for fingers, like it's got a special unit for that. So we went up there the next day. So they'd got her finger, they'd brought it back to our house, wrapped it up, and we just chucked it in the first Tupperware we could find. What do you remember what it said on the lid of the Tupperware? Because I often put like food, leftover food in Tupperwares, and write on the name of the food when I put it in the freezer. What did it say on the Tupperware?
Pasta.
It did have pasta. What else did it say on it? What else was in the Tupperware last time?
Sausage casserole.
Yeah, a bit of a funny joke, that one. So we took her finger to the hospital in a Tupperware that said sausage casserole on it. And anyway, when we got to the special plastic surgery unit the next day, they said, we don't know if the finger will take. It's quite unlikely. But what it will do is, by attaching the finger, it will act as something called a composite graft and enable the finger underneath to heal, so that when that bit falls off, it wouldn't mean that they, it meant that they didn't have to take like a skin graft from the rest of her finger to go over the top. So hopefully it would look tidier. But you know, we knew that we were surrounded by prayer. And Libby, what was it, what were the church and mummy and daddy and all your friends and family doing whilst you were having your surgery the next day?
Praying.
And when mummy and daddy prayed with you, how did that make you feel?
Happy.
Yeah. Do you know what? It was like a day out. And Libby was so brave for the whole day. We actually, after you'd had the surgery and you came out of it, all the doctors couldn't believe how brave she was and how calm she seemed and how positive she seemed. And after we were sort of, she'd had the surgery, we were discharged from hospital, we were walking out of the hospital, she just looked up at both of us. And what did you say? What did you say after you'd had your operation when we left the hospital?
That was a fun day.
Yeah, she did. Genuinely, that was a fun day. We probably weren't feeling quite the same, but she was very positive. Anyway, went back the following week for them to take off the dressing and look at the finger and see how it was doing. And the fingertip had gone completely white, and they said that that probably meant that it wouldn't take because there was no blood supply going to that finger. And at that point, we were all feeling pretty gutted, processing the fact that she would probably not have the end of her finger. And but we asked everyone to pray. We asked the church to pray. And Gemma said to me, I've got faith for a miraculous healing. And I said to Gemma, I'm glad you've got faith because I don't feel quite the same, but I'm praying. And we knew that we were surrounded by prayer. 2 days later, we went back to the hospital and they took off the dressing again. And what did they say after that? What changed about your finger?
Well, it turned pink.
It turned pink. 2 days later, they said, wow, it's gone a little bit pink. They weren't sort of super confident that it would take, but they were like, it's looking more positive. And they said at that point that we'd probably have to be going back to the hospital twice a week for about 6 to 8 weeks for them to be redressing it and stuff like that. But after just how many weeks did they discharge us after?
2 weeks.
Yeah, it was amazing. We were thinking, oh, we've got to go up to East Grinstead twice a week for 6 to 8 weeks. But they discharged us after 2 weeks. They said, no, it's fine. And it looked pretty awful at that point. And it was sort of, there was a seasonal festival going on when we first took the dressing off at home and Libby was in the bath. What did you call your finger?
Halloween finger.
Yeah, she said, look at my Halloween finger. And it did look pretty awful at that point. Anyway, it was going in the right direction. And we could see that fingertip was gonna stay on, which was really cool. How did we feel when we knew that your fingertip was going to stay on?
Happy.
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty awesome. To cut a long story short with loads and loads of details, they said it was going to take 6 to 8 weeks worth of going back and having it redressed. After 2 weeks, they signed us off and it was all fine. No dressing, just a plaster at school to protect it, but it was looking good. They said it would take at least 6 months to be able to tell whether the nail would regrow or not. How long did it take until you had a full nail?
8 weeks.
Yeah, pretty cool. And so she's got a full nail. And every day, every sort of few days, I look at it and I think, wow, it's, you know, it just is continually to heal. And there's no doubt that that God used the amazing NHS staff and, you know, that he's given us those skills. So thank you to doctors and nurses and people that are doing those amazing jobs. But her healing surpassed their expectations, and that is because of our God. And you know, I shared this verse a couple of weeks ago, Ephesians 3 verse 20, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. And Libby, she keeps saying this, I say, what healed your finger, Libby?
God.
Yeah, God. She keeps saying, God's power. It was God's power. And it was. It was God's power. Did you want to say something else?
No.
No. And when we were out and about, we were in the swimming pool yesterday, and she keeps going up to people and saying, I chopped my finger off, but God's power made it better, and I'm going to share my testimony at church. And I want to pray that over this church, that we won't we can't not face tragedy, can we? We can't not go through difficult things. That's life. But that that God's power would transform situations, that his miraculous power would break in, and that we would be able to use that to witness to people, just people in the swimming pool, people on the street, people standing at railway crossings. You're telling people all the time, aren't you? She loves the story. And she'd love to show people her thing. Hold it up so everyone can see. I mean, genuinely, they said there'd be some scarring. They said the nail would look a bit weird. It's looking amazing, and God is good.
Well done, Libs. That is, isn't that, I mean, just amazing. For the rest of Libby's life, she's got that little story. You know, when I was five, I got my finger chopped off in a door, and look at it now, and it's great. And so I do hope it's encouraging you. What a story. It so encourages me. There's my faith. So that's Libby and Mel. We're going to now, Paul is going to come up and tell his story. Yeah, let's give him a warm welcome. I'll get that out of the way for you. Yeah, Paul.
I don't know if I need that. I've got a big mouth.
I'll put it on, and then it's okay. Recorded.
Fancy following Libby. How do I do that? Good morning, church. Hello, everyone. I am hopeless when it comes to praying for myself. I don't know. I just feel too humble and da-di-da. Really, I just don't. And my testimony is about prayer. And we picked up that from Libby and Mel. And I put my name down on the what's on sheet before I knew we were going to have 2 weeks of teaching about prayer. And what a fantastic teaching it's been. Really good teaching. We now know that David Thompson wins the best marriage in the world. We now know that Joe will never have cold chips again. Fantastic stuff. So my name's Paul. I'm married to Lindy. I'm an active chap. My passion is athletics. I did my first London Marathon in 1987. I've done London 9 times. I've done a further 20 or so marathons, including Paris and New York. Lindy and I, we go out with our Ramblers group twice a week, most weeks. I've walked in the mountains. In fact, in 97, I spent a month in Nepal trekking in the high Himalayas in a mountain called Annapurna. And as recent as 2012, I trekked to the base camp at Mount Everest. I'm an active chap. I tell you that story really as a backstory as to my devastation as when I started a race February of last year in Chichester, what I didn't know, it'll be the last time I ran. I picked up a groin strain. I'll just read through this because it's a long story and I don't want to bore you. So after a month, I saw the doctor. He advised a soft tissue injury and take myself off to a private physio. No success there. An osteopath. No success there. An x-ray revealed moderate wear to the hip. No success there. An ultrasound revealed no cancer. I asked for an appointment with the NHS physio. The doctor agreed, but it would be 6 to 8 weeks away. In the meantime, we were going to West Point. And at West Point, I'm relaying my story to a good friend of ours who goes to Grace at Midhurst called John Fever. And he probably spent 15 minutes really praying into the difficulty I was having, really praying into it. Lindy and I then spent a couple of weeks touring Cornwall, get back. And Lindy started filling out in the What's On sheet each week. She started just filling out, you know. And on those prayer sheets, she's filling out prayer for me, because I'm not good at praying for myself. And they're the prayers that you put on there are prayed to each week by the leadership team. They really are, they really do work. I'm going to testament to that. I then had the appointment on the 20th of September with the NHS physio. And he said, nothing I can do for you, you need a specialist. Went to the specialist on the 4th of October. As I walked into his office, he just said, my friend, you need a new hip. It was as simple as that. Within a month, I saw the surgeon, and within a further month, I was having surgery. Now, that's been just over 6 weeks, and I'm actually standing here now really, really happy, really happy. I can tell you, my testimony is about prayer. Prayer really works. And I was touched by a word from Pip this morning when she says, in a word, that my sackcloth has been removed. And I'm filled with joy. I really am filled with joy. I've got to thank Grace Church. I've got to thank our Father God. And I thank Lindy for her continued love and prayer.
That's great, isn't it? I was thinking the other day about the healing and how it works. And the human body is just incredible, isn't it? The way God's designed it, that it should heal. That you know, if you cut something else in two, then and you should just put it back together, and you sew it back together, you can sew it back, but then doesn't. For it to fuse together, it's just a remarkable thing. And for a hip to be restored and to just heal of itself. And I just, you know, we can overly separate between spiritual miraculous healing and just a normal, where the body's doing its thing. I mean, it is miraculous that God would create a body. No man can create something which is self-healing. Yeah. We can't, God is, it's just amazing. And it's so good to hear how God is faithfully answering prayers and doing these things. We're going to have Lou come up now and tell her story. So why don't we all welcome Lou.
Morning, church. So I don't know how many of you actually know my story from hearing me tell you about it or hearing a testimony from last Testimony Sunday at Midhurst. But I thought I'd share how I became a Christian and what difference that has made to my life, because I love my story. It's my story. So... I grew up in a family where we were what I call nominal Christians. So we went to church on Easter and Christmas because that was the right thing to do. But in between those times had nothing really to do with the church apart from the morals of it. So we upheld those, but not really engaging in any way with God. And I didn't really have any understanding of who God actually was or why he'd be interested in someone like me. I still don't quite get my head around that, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. So I fast forward till when I was 18, 2010, a tragic accident happened on our farm at home, which meant that my dad then passed away. And that really shook my entire world. I didn't quite know how to cope. The business was a bit in jeopardy, the whole farm, because my brother was only 21. He didn't know how to run a farm, by himself at least. And my mum didn't know what to do. We didn't know whether we'd be able to stay in the farmhouse. All of these questions were coming up. I quite didn't know how to cope. None of my family really did. And at that point, I got to a stage where I thought the only thing that I can now think of to do was to pray. I'd never really sort of knew what that meant, but God was the only person left to talk to. So I prayed to him, didn't really think much of it afterwards, but I'd prayed to him. And do you know what? He really upheld me in that time. I didn't know him, but he got me through that time. He brought my family closer together. He gave my brother the strength to actually step up, take over the farm, do all of that side of things. And then fast forward to when I'm at uni, so that's about a year and a half later, I moved to Newcastle, salt of the earth, love the people up there. And I moved into the uni halls where I was living, and God had planned, amazingly, for me to be living in a flat with three Christian girls. So he really didn't leave me with any other option but to find out about him. That's what I'll say. And I got to know these girls really quickly. I bonded with them incredibly well, super fast. And they just very, very casually, relaxed, invited me to go with them to one of the Christian Union events, run by the Newcastle Christian Union, obviously. And I went along because the other people in the flat, every night, they were out, they were drinking, they were coming back at 4 a.m, they were really loud. I just didn't have that connection with them in the same way. So I went along to this Christian event, thought, why not? What have I got to lose? And instead found out how much I had to gain, which was great. I went along and heard all about how God loves me. Three simple words blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. And so this person was talking at the front about how God loves each single one of us as individuals, and he has a plan for every single one of our lives. And so I heard this and I thought, wow, that's not the God I've heard about, the one who made the earth, and we sing hymns to him sometimes at school and assemblies and stuff, but that he loves me. That was incredible. And so there was a piece of paper that they put down on in front of every place where we were sitting, and it gave you an option to leave your contact details so that they could get in touch with you. And there was also a tick box at the bottom with different options of just saying what faith you have. So if you're a committed Christian or not, or if you're still questioning or that kind of thing. And the book, there was one box that said, I give my life to follow Jesus in thankfulness for what he's done for me. Or that's the summary of what it said anyway. And I just looked at that and I thought, what if that was true? What if I tick that box? What if I change things and see what this is all about? I don't know for certain whether it's going to be true or not, but the only thing I can do if I want to find out is tick the box. So I did. I ticked it. I prayed. Haven't looked back since. God has changed everything about my life. He's changed my attitude towards my relationships, my possessions, what I hold dear and what I can let go of really easily, my money, literally everything. My attitude to my work as well. I'm now a primary school teacher, for those who don't know, and I absolutely love my work. And he has just been so, so faithful throughout the whole thing. He upheld me before I even knew who he was, and he's still doing it now, and he can do exactly the same for you. So that's really my story. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lou. What a story. I love that song earlier, Your goodness is running after me. That's that story, isn't it? Like Lou's saying, and when she didn't even know, God was upholding her, and then three Christian flatmates, and goodness, just she couldn't help but hear about the goodness of God and goodness running after her. It's amazing. I hope you're encouraged. How are we doing? Are we all right?
Yeah.
Good. What I thought would be good, actually helpful, I'm going to now is tell really, it's kind of the story of Haven't, as a Grace Church Haven't, and the story, but also how that mine and Liz's and our life within that and how that's worked together. Just, I think it'd be helpful, you know, especially those who have joined us since we started, kind of what is this, how's it come about, where we come from. So, it goes way back to I think, 2008, which was, it was the last year of when Liz was, I feel like, Liz just said, I reckon it's 9. I feel like the whole time I'm telling this story, Liz is going to be doing this and correcting me. Oh, you're correct. She is right on this occasion. Man, it's on record, isn't it? 2011 it actually was. 2011 was, Liz was, the guy who used to lead Grace Church was a guy called Steve Petch, and he actually only a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, handed over to David Thompson, and he used to do this thing for students on their last year of uni, where he'd just get them round his house and just ask them questions and challenge them, encourage them, inspire them, and all those kind of things. And it was that's why it's 2011, because it was Liz's last year, and Liz was at this day, and Steve was just chatting out and chucking out his dreams and vision, and he mentioned how he'd love one day as Grace Church, we were then just meeting in Chichester, we were one site, multi-site wasn't even a thing in Grace Church, and it wasn't even in our vocabulary in any way, and he just said how he one day he'd love to do something in Haven, in the Haven area as a church and serve something there, and even before then, it had been mentioned. Steve had mentioned it. This is another example. That's twice. and when Steve mentioned it, it had burned. Oh man. Right. Here we go. It was then that it kind of started something in Liz, actually. Some passion about, I'd like to be involved with that in some way. I'd like to go and do something in Haven. And we were engaged at that point. We were going to get married. We got married in 2011. And, I'm sure about that. Bang on. I just knew actually I wanted to to go somewhere different to Chichester. Actually, I wanted to live in a different community, a slightly more economically diverse community. And so I didn't really have a particular desire anywhere. And so when Liz said, oh, haven't maybe one day in the future in some weird world, I thought, yeah, I mean, why not? That sounds good. But really, it was in Liz that was birthed. And then this multi-site thing happened. We went, it's Grace Church, we went multi-site in 2013. We launched Bognor, and we launched a site into Bognor Regis. And then 2 years later, we did it again, and we launched into Midhurst. And kind of we started to think, and it was actually 4 years ago that we were blessed to come into an opportunity where we could purchase a property, and we knew we were going to move out of Chichester. And a lot of our friends really were going Bognor way and going east from Chichester. But we actually right then felt, oh, actually, we want to go west. And there wasn't any particular heavy talk about doing anything that happened in Grace Church. We said, well, we want to go over there. And I don't know if you've ever done this kind of thing where you just think, oh, I'll go and get involved and pray for a leader to come along one day. And you just think, yeah, I'll go and support someone or something. And then, so we did that 4 years ago, and over time began to think, oh, maybe God wants us to lead this thing and to take a bit more of a front row in it. And that happened. And again, the story came. So it was in April of 2017 that we started to talk, you know, like, right, what are we doing? Are we going to go for this thing? And the first move we made was for basically the group, just a One Life group that was meeting in Haven, just because we lived here, decided to start hiring a venue for our group, and just to kind of make a bit of a statement about how this is a bit more than a life group now. We're starting something, starting to dream. So we actually used a room in Haven United Reformed Church in their upstairs building, and they were so good to us. They still are, actually, good relationship with those guys there. And so we just did group there. We still did a meal together, and we started really praying as a group, those of us who were living in this area and thinking, yeah, I want to be part of this site one day. We just started praying into it and seeking God and just discussing, really, and dreaming. And it was great, and it was a really huge step. It was also a right faff, and having to do it all and take all the food there and set it all up, and it was hard work, and sometimes I would come away from them and, yeah, I can't help but assess numbers, and sometimes I'd be buzzing and think, yeah, let's do it tomorrow, let's go for this thing. But here's a confession moment. There were other times, I mean, I can remember that I then started, so we started that in April. It was in July I started, David asked me to come onto staff at Grace Church, and so it's in the offices of Grace Church. I remember occasions, basically, the day after life group, going into David Thompson's office and just kind of collapsing on the chair and thinking, oh, this is never going to happen. I don't know how this is going. I'm just feeling deflated and I don't know, lacking in faith. There were those moments, but God kept kind of working. And then we decided we are going to go for this thing. We're going to go for a Sunday. We're going to become a site of Grace Church in Haven. And that was around September that we kind of decided to go. That's September of 2017. And so we'll go for around March, start meeting in Haven in some way on a Sunday morning. And so we started doing the stuff. You know, we've got a van, getting all the things, all of this equipment. We have to go and purchase all that, find a venue, didn't know where. So I was looking around. There's not many kind of village hall type things in Haven. So really it was schools and looking at schools and just actually felt that this place, Warblington, God kind of put that in my heart, this area. We had people who were living in this area. I felt this is the place to at least start and build in this area. So kind of came here relatively hopeful. And it was great, great venue. It's really served us well. It's really good rooms. This is a great room that we're meeting. I love that we have tea and coffee in the same room, and it's all good time at the end. Anyway, so all that happened. We launched March 18th, 2018. Was our first Sunday. Was it the first week or the second week? Someone remind me that it snowed. Yeah. Was that the first week? Which was just bizarre. And you just thought, this is not what we need. It's March, middle of March. And it was snowing, and we kind of all, you know. And yet it was just great. There were 42 of us that first week. And it was a good time. It was exciting, and faith was stirring, and God was speaking to us. And then So personally, various things happened. Our little boy, Zeph, got... who got chicken pox first? Zeph got chicken pox. He was three at the time. And then, obviously, we've still got two boys. You kind of know that the other one's going to get it at some point. And you can't come to anywhere like church with chicken pox. And then Zeph, he got infected. Actually, one of his spots got infected. He was really ill in hospital. And so kind of in hospital for two nights and could have been more. Quite not a very nice time, really, as a family. And then Reuben went and got chicken pox after that. It just meant that, basically, so for the following three Sundays, Liz couldn't come to church because she had to be at home with the boys. And so it just made it hard. And you kind of, you know, you think, oh, what's going on? And yet, God was just so in with us in those moments, and you kind of know, well, God, if God's in us in these moments, then we can trust Him for the rest of it. And you kind of, it would be a bit of both. You're on one hand just totally questioning God, what are you doing? But at the same hand, almost feeling fine in those moments and thinking, well, I know God's got me. And He's got me, and therefore He's got us. Do you know what I mean? He's got this sight. And really, God's just done what He's done since then. And we had a kind of a big public launch in September where we gave out burgers and things and whatever. And just God's been adding to us. And that is, we're just so at the beginning of the story, aren't we? So I'm excited for a kind of birthday in March. And we just continue for the future of what God's got in store for Grace Church. Do come and be part of us. You know, if you want to belong, just feel like you can belong, come and build with us. Come and help us to dig in. And God is blessing us. I think if ever you've done anything like that, you'll know. And if you have been one of us doing that, you'll know it's tough at times, hard work. You have to dig in, and yet God is, I really do feel, bringing us through to a place of actually kind of. Even this morning, you know, we were set up in good time and things like that. It's just things God is setting us up and launching. And so the rest of the story is the exciting bit, what God's going to do. We're here for the kingdom of God in heaven. So I just want to, yeah, just get excited about this story and get excited about the fact that that is chapter one at most of this story. There is so much to come of what God's going to do among us. And I love these days as well where we're here. It's not just, you know, we're not just a group. And God is doing, you know, we're individuals that make up a family, and God is blessing each and every one of us in family. So be excited, be encouraged. Great. That's kind of my story and the story of Haven. I hope that was helpful. Just thought it would be a helpful thing to do this morning. I'm going to ask Anna to come now, and she's going to tell her story. Why don't you give her a big, warm welcome and encourage Anna in it.
Thank you. I haven't really prepared anything because I just want to say about, sorry for people who don't know me, I'm Anna. I joined in Chichester in October, and so it's just over a year now. I got baptised in April with the help of Gemma over there. God is amazing. I went to the Alpha course last year at Chichester, had lots of questions answered, and attended it this time as well with Heaven. Site, and I can remember asking, or just on the video, I think there was someone from prison who had said he went to the Alpha, he got given a Bible, woke up and he was transformed. And I said, you know, I just wish I could feel that instant sort of change in me. For any of you who don't know, I used to be quite bad at gambling. To the point where I'd spend all my wages and leave myself with nothing. So, yeah, it was quite massive. The week, I can't say a surname, James from Compassion, James Waddle, I can't remember, he came in and he spoke. And he said, I've written it down, he just said, you recognise want, you've got to be willing and then to ask. And I think with the Alpha course, I really put my head into my Bible app, and I actually haven't gambled. I had one little wobble where situations happened in life and I just reverted back to, I put my head back into the slots and it just takes my mind off all the negative things that's going on. And I realised if I had actually just put my head back in the Bible, I might not have gambled. But even now, it's just like he's cut that dirty bad bit away, and there's nothing in me that actually wants to think, oh, I've got a spare tenner, I'll just put that on there. There's nothing in me whatsoever. So I think my testimony is just that the Bible is a powerful book. Everyone needs to read it. That is it, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Just, well, we rejoice with you, Anna, so much. It's, and God at work in you, such a blessing to us, such an encouragement. Yeah, we're all. It's, yeah. Do you know what? So this Grace Life, this magazine, which is going to be available kind of next Sunday or at Vision Focus. Someone sent a, Denise, as is one of our members at Grace Church, and with her now husband Trevor, did a testimony in there, and I was kind of helping them put it together. And one of the things, she suffers with anxiety, really, and one of the things she said, we were kind of making it work and just checking, is this all right? And the kind of first draft had said, and I have now been healed from my anxiety. And she, I mean, just said this, like, remarkably wise thing. I said, oh, can you just change that to, and being healed from my anxiety? And just, I think that, it stuck with me, really. It was such a profound thing, and it's not just Denise with her anxiety. That's all of us, isn't it? We are all works in progress, and we just rejoice that we are being healed. Anna's being healed. We are all being changed from one degree of glory to the next, and we just rejoice that God is doing that, and that we are all on this journey of being healed, being made more like Jesus. And so I just hope you're encouraged this morning. Is it encouraging? Is it stirring your faith? Is it to believe that God is at work? We're going to sing again and just worship and worship this God who changes our lives. Why don't we all stand together? Just encourage you to again, just to really focus on God's life-changing power, that He is an intimate and loving God who loves to bless us. The only thing that is stopping Him pouring out His blessing on us is us. And He loves to give good gifts. And He loves to change your life wherever you are at. You may be in the middle of the tragedy. You may be in the middle of the drama. But I just rejoice that God has begun something in you. God is working in you. He is carrying on a work in you. Let's worship, let's rejoice together that we are a family and that He's working in every one of us. Let's rejoice that wherever we are at in our life, we can know the freedom that there is in Him, that He is healing us and changing us from one degree of glory to the next, all for His kingdom and glory.